Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Hold dead a step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Good morning. Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, November 2nd. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Lose Overwhelm, and Enjoy the Freedom That Organization Provides. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners, because I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding your comments over on the chat, web chat. If you're on the phone lines, all you need to do is press pound 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you're over on the web chat, which is on the website, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. So if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the same number you called in the first place, and you'll be back with us. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later right under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I'm Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 adults and a grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. Yes, 40 years. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now get hold of my book, Color Your Life Happy, that just came out not long ago. But only get it if you're ready to make positive changes in your life, because it is full of stories, tips, activities that will all speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, the book is available on my website, but it's also available at all major bookstores, including Amazon.com. Now, on the radio show by the same name, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. In order to do this, each week I interview guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, wealth creation, parenting, all those things that go to make up our lives. Today, my guest is Beth Florida. She's the owner of Get It Together, and she's been a professional organizer and efficiency expert for business for quite a few years. She's going to tell us about that in a minute. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Flora.
Hi. Beth, I want to tell everybody a bit about you before we get started. Is that okay?
That would be great.
Okay. Again, Beth Florida, owner of Get It Together. She's been a professional organizer and efficiency expert for business for 18 years. She works with people who have home-based offices and small businesses all over the world, in person and virtually. Don't you just love the Internet? You can do this on the phone and on the Internet. Mm-hmm. Beth has a passion for organizing. There's nothing she loves more than when her clients realize that they can have peace of mind, reduced anxiety, and more time in their lives for the things they enjoy. Now, she's a Golden Circle member of the National Association of Professional Organizers, and in 2007, she became one of only a handful of organizers to earn the Certified Professional Organizer designation, CPO. Originally from Chicago, Beth lives in Anaheim Hills, California, near me, with her husband, Butch, and they have one grown daughter, a two-year-old granddaughter, and two dogs, Max and Daisy. In her free time, she enjoys reading, hiking, and her Chicago sports teams. Beth loves what she does, and she enjoys helping her clients achieve the freedom that organization provides. So we're going to get started right now, Beth, and I bet you a lot of people want to know how you became a professional organizer for business. How did that happen?
Well, it's funny. I've always been organized. I've always had my projects, and, you know, I probably redid my photo albums 500 times and just all these different things.
Goodness.
Those new things would come along, and I'd find a better way to do it, and I just kind of always had a knack for it. I would always have lists and organize and do these different things. And as my daughter was getting ready to go into the first grade, I was looking to go back to work. I had been home with her, but I wanted something flexible. I wanted to be able to be home after school and be the mom, but still, you know, get out during the day and earn a living and be productive and feel, you know, worthwhile and do things. And at that very same time, I learned that there was a National Association of Professional Organizers, and actually someone from my past who I knew from doing community theater back in high school was the president of the organization. So it was just, it was really a small world kind
yes,
of situation.
It is.
I got in touch with him. He's in Los Angeles, and I joined the association, and it's just kind of snowballed from there. And here it is, 2009, it's 18 years later. And I would say probably the last, maybe half of my business, I've really tried to focus on working with businesses. When you first start, you know, you do everything. You do residential,
sure.
you do the garages,
sure.
you do the closets and kitchens. And it really came to light for me that I really enjoy the challenge of helping business owners find what works for them. You can work with, you know, 14 different accountants, and even though they have the same type of business and do the same type of work, they're all different people, so
yes.
they bring something different to the table, and they have different habits and different work ethics and different, you know, different things that they bring. And it's my challenge, which is what I love about what I do, is finding what works for that individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing with organizing
yeah,
that seems to be what everybody thinks. You know, you read a book or you go to a seminar and you think, okay, I've got the answer now. This is going to work. And then I come along a couple years later, and you've got this bag sitting in the corner that's covered in dust because you went out and bought all these things you were supposed to buy according to the book or the seminar. And it just sat there because as great as it sounded while the person was presenting it to you, it just really didn't resonate with you and who you are. And it brings, you know, joy to what I do to find when that light bulb goes off over my client's head and they realize, wow, okay, you know, this way is really going to work for me. And that's just, I just absolutely love what I do.
Wow. You know, when you were saying that you joined this organization, it occurred to me that a lot of people probably, first of all, didn't realize there was an organization. And secondly, perhaps there are people who are like you who've always been good at organizing and didn't think of it as a career.
Right.
And so that's good for people to know that that's an option as a career. Now,
exactly.
is there's training that people need to become professional organizers, or how does that go about?
Not really a training. The certification that came about, they've been talking about that since I had been a member, you know, almost 20 years ago. They've been talking about certification. And then what they did is they went outside to an independent organization that apparently provides certifications for several different industries. And they put together a test based on, I think the reading list was about 100 books long as far as different things that they were going to draw from to put these questions together. And, of course, they were random and multiple choice. And, you know, organizers being who they are, you know, we would look at an answer and it was multiple choice. And it would the answer really is it depends on the client.
Sure.
One answer really didn't fit, so it was a little frustrating, but thankfully I passed and became part of that group. But, you know, and there's recertification every 3 years, so I'm looking at that next year, and continuing education, you have to take classes, and going to, say, the NAPO conferences and different things and taking the classes there is enough to give you all the credits that you need to be recertified every 3 years. And
wow.
You have to work a certain number of hours in your industry and all these different things in order to maintain the certification. So, and it's independent of the National Association of Professional Organizers. It's BCPO, the Board of Certified Professional Organizers, I think, is what it stands for. But
mm-hmm.
it is independent, even though they were, you know, instrumental in having this done.
Wow.
So it's not really training. I mean, you certainly have to have continuing education to maintain it and in order
mm-hmm.
to get it to begin with. But there's no formal training.
Okay.
I think I've heard actually in some community colleges there are actually some organizing classes now you can take, but it's still not really recognized as.
Yeah. Well, I just thought about that as you were talking, that that's a good option for people who are inclined that way
mm-hmm.
and want to get into a career. Now, what are some of the different areas of your clients' offices that you can work with them on to be more efficient and productive? I'm looking around my office as I talk to you. I wouldn't want you to faint, so I would be hesitant to invite you.
Yes.
But
I've
what
never
run
out screaming yet in all these years.
You haven't passed out yet?
Out screaming. Not once. if people didn't have their piles and their things, I wouldn't have a job.
That's true.
So, I mean,
that's
there's
true.
Absolutely no judgment. There's no, you know, anything as far as it goes. It's just a matter of finding what works for you. I mean,
sure.
a lot of what I work with these days with my clients is on the computer, whether
yes.
it's email or computer files, and there's still, you know, we're supposed to be so paperless now that we have the computer. But what happens is, you know, you're afraid you're going to lose it in your computer because your computer's not very organized, so you print it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I have clients that print all their emails and print you know, all their articles, and then they've got paper and they've got it on the computer. So it's actually created a bigger to-do than, you know, it was supposed to be better. And paper flow, just dealing with your daily mail,
mm-hmm.
setting up file
mm-hmm.
drawers. And, you know, you can have the greatest filing system in the world, but if you never go in and purge it and you just keep filing, eventually the
mm-hmm.
drawers will get full.
Sure.
So you need to also, you know, purge your file drawers. So that's something that I work with my clients on, learning what to get rid of and when and scheduling the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And just their general office space.
Mm-hmm.
How do you set up your office?
Yeah, the flow, your workflow, the way you work in it. Yeah.
Exactly, and who you are and how that fits with you. And
mm-hmm.
going back to the computer, your bookmarks, being able to find a website that you went to and you loved it and now you can't find it again.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking that the whole computer issue has brought up, you know, instead of making things easier, it's probably added so much to the need to organize.
Exactly.
Because just the example you just gave, where you find something, I do that all the time, and you want to get back to it, but how do you best
right.
save it so you can get, you can retrieve it when you need it?
Right, and then also to remember that you wanted to retrieve it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's my problem.
You can save it, and you might know where it is if you think about it again, but what happens if you just completely forget about it? You've just got this bookmark sitting there, this tab open, and you know, and then you see it a few weeks later, and you're like, well, what did I want that for? Just like
mm-hmm.
you know, you tear something out of the newspaper, and you think, okay, this is really important, and you look at it a few weeks later, and you think, why did I tear this out? What was so important? And
yeah,
we all do it.
Yeah,
we all do the same thing.
Well, my challenge is naming things. You know,
mm-hmm.
when I save, I try to keep files on the computer, I mean, because I just refuse to print all that stuff off. I just print what I need to print. But still, my computer is just so loaded. And I will name something that makes sense, put it in a file that makes sense or folder,
mm-hmm.
and then go, oh, my God, what folder did I put that in?
Right. And the trick
so.
With all that is just really learning to be consistent and having, you know, rules that you set up for yourself that will tell you what to name it and where to name it and where to keep it. Maybe it's something that's more archival and you just want to know that it's there when you need it, or maybe it's an active file, something that you're going to be working in this week. So there are different ways. And the other
So that's how you help with the naming of the things and deciding
exactly.
which those are. Okay.
And the other big thing is time management. Just working with people on actually, you know, figuring out how the best way is to spend their time and maybe learning to time block and say, okay, you know what, I've got 20 minutes for this. And, you know, scheduling their day and looking at the things during their day that, you know, there are some things that are set in stone. Maybe there's a meeting you go to twice a week that is at a certain time. So obviously you can't schedule anything else there. But what we tend to do is overlook the things that we need to do to build our businesses, and we don't value that time as much as we do when it's an appointment with someone else outside of our office. So it's all about scheduling all that and making it a priority.
And not getting distracted when you read email.
Right.
And setting a very short time for reading email, because that's my big challenge is I get so distracted because you encounter things that are interesting, and so you follow those, and then that leads you into what I call Alice in Wonderland's hole, that tunnel.
That's perfect.
And I go spiraling down that tunnel, and all these interesting characters and people, but, you know, 2 hours later, you haven't done what you really need to do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of interesting reading and interesting ideas.
Right.
Now, what seems to be the most troublesome area that affects the majority of your clients?
Well, it's kind of sort of what we just talked about. It's the paper and the email.
Okay.
A lot of people have trouble keeping up with the paper that comes in, whether it's daily mail or business cards, client documents, receipts, bills, email, you know, turn off the little dinger or the speaker on your computer so that if you're across the room or even if you're sitting at your computer working, you don't know when there's a new email. Maybe you schedule it in your day to, you're going to answer email 3 times a day.
Okay.
And that's it. And you're going to spend 30 minutes. And that's it. And you can set a timer. I mean, there are a lot of ways to try and, you know, really curb that.
Turn off the dinger announcing email.
Where you hear that dinger and you know you just start salivating.
Salivating.
It might be really important. You know, you never know. But if you know and if you get in the habit of doing it, you know, 2-3 times a day, and you know you're going to get there, there's usually nothing that's that important that it can't wait until the next time. And if it is, the person will call you.
That's
They're not going to wait for you to answer the email. They will call you if it's really that urgent.
Okay.
But typically,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, but typically, you know, we're all sitting in front of our computers a lot of times all day, every day, and we're working. And so it's really hard when you're in the middle of maybe writing an article or, you know, a newsletter or you're putting something together, and then that little dinger goes off or you see the little mail icon at the bottom of your screen.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's a magnet. It draws you there. And the trick is to either learn how to ignore that magnet or get rid of the magnet altogether and just schedule it on your calendar when you're going to go there and do it.
Right. Yeah, you just hit on that is one of my biggest challenges. And I suppose until we get smart enough to realize what you just said, that our email is not likely that urgent, even though I teach an online class. So I like to know when my students are emailing me about some issue or whatever.
Right.
But seldom is it that urgent. And if I set aside 3 times a day, let's say that I check email.
Right.
Then
maybe if you're saying like if your business is more email related, maybe it's more than 3 times a day.
Right,
but
right.
But it's not every 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? You've got to find a happy medium.
I'm laughing because to add to the computer problem, then I have a BlackBerry. And so on the BlackBerry, of course, you're getting your email. And then some people are getting their Twitter. Now, I refuse to get tweets on my BlackBerry.
Right.
And I don't check my email that frequently on my BlackBerry, only if I'm somewhere where I have to wait in line or something like that.
Right, it passes the time, and it saves you time. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because then when you get home, you can just delete. You've already answered. You can file.
Right.
You can whatever you need to do. So that's actually a great time saver.
Yes. But if you're one of these people that feels like you have to respond to every tweet, you have to respond, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's impossible to get anything else done. Now, why does being organized allow your clients freedom from overwhelm? Because that's part of the title of our episode. How does that connect?
Well, when you say you have an organized office, it means a lot more than your office looks neat and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Neat and organized are two totally different things. It means your business is as productive and efficient as possible. And when your
mm-hmm.
business is truly organized, you're going to spend less time dealing with the office issues and more time doing the things that make your business more money or give you the more free time to do whatever it is that you enjoy. Maybe you want to have a 4-hour work day and then you want to, you know, spend the rest of your time doing something else. So if you can lose that overwhelm and actually focus on the things that need to get done, maybe it's the top 3 things you need to do in a day. And
mm-hmm.
you get those 3 things done, and if you've got some time left, then you, you know, work through the rest of your list. But you really have to look at the things that are, you know, driving your business. We all tend to do the little things that take, you know, 5 minutes or 3 minutes, and we get all these things out of the way. But you don't really get the big things done that actually drive your business and make your business either more money or make you more time for the things that you enjoy.
I heard a speaker one time say that there are 3 questions you need to ask yourself when you're deciding on a task. And the 3 questions were, does this make me money? Does this
mm-hmm.
make me money? Does this make me money? And, you know, her theory was the other stuff, like you said, you're not getting your tasks done that keep your business afloat, then you're really hurting yourself a lot.
Right. Right, you might cross 10 things off your to-do list instead of just one, but what have you really accomplished if whatever you're doing is going to not propel your business forward?
Right,
you know, you really need to look at the things that you need to get done in a day that are actually going to move you forward, and then, you know, there's always time for those things later. Do those next.
Mm-hmm.
Do those once the most important things are done. And
so,
or get someone else to help you do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do those things that anybody can do. The things that I've heard it said, I think I heard a speaker say one time, you shouldn't be doing the $20 an hour jobs.
Right.
Be doing the things that are going to really work your business, and you need to be working in your business, and hire someone to do those other administrative things that anybody could do with some direction as to how you want them done.
Yeah, that I think sometimes we like to do the shiny object things that are fun to do because they are gratifying, but they're not the things that we always need to be doing that spent behind the scenes planning
mm-hmm.
and conceptualizing and that kind of thing that actually you don't need to even be at the computer sometimes to create.
Right. And I can't tell you how many times a day I'll look at something on Twitter and it'll sound really inviting and you'll click on it and it's just someone that wants you to do whatever business they're doing.
They're doing, that's right.
Exactly. It's like they want you to join their business instead of giving you something that's actually going to help you do yours.
Right,
and it's really, you know, sometimes they're very, you know, open about it, but sometimes it's a little bit deceptive and it's like you click on it, it's like, okay, just this is another business opportunity. I'm not looking for a business opportunity. I'm looking to better my own business.
Right. And that's tough. That's really tough with the amount of information we have these days because every now and then, you know, I'll hear someone say that they are just, you know, tired of Twitter, tired of Facebook, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
yet, every now and then, you will get a lead or a tip or something that helps your business.
Exactly.
And the only way you get to that, I guess, is to get faster at screening things out and deciding what is valuable. And deleting, a lot of deleting.
You've got to just kind of make your way through that muck and find the actual shiny object, because it's really hard when every tweet is a shiny object, and it's like, which one's really going to work for me?
Yeah, you know what helped me a lot the other day? I read one of the big successful bloggers suggested, Twitter experts, said that he decided that he didn't need to follow any more people or he only needed to follow so many, and he had thousands, tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wiped them all out and decided on a few people he needed, you know, key people in the industry he needed to follow.
Right.
And when I read that, I thought, whoa. So I did the same thing. I wiped out all of the people I was following and just added the ones that, you know, in my industry, a few. You can't control who follows you, but you certainly can control exactly. who you follow.
Exactly. And one I'm at a point now where I've kind of hit a wall
yeah.
where they're not letting me follow anybody else until more people follow me. And I
right.
know Twitter's been kind of cleaning out their database lately, getting rid of people who aren't using it right or are using
yeah.
it really badly and different things. So, you know, because like you said, you can't control who follows you.
No, no.
And then you can wake up in the morning and have 40 fewer followers than you had the day before because
well,
they're cleaning house.
I have about 23 people that I'm following, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. And I discovered that somewhere way back when I set things up, I set up somewhere along the line an automatic follow. So if
I
someone
did.
Followed me, I
yeah.
would automatically follow them. Oh, my God, I had to figure out how to undo that because
I did the same thing.
I was like, oh, who are these people? I don't remember following them. So, yeah, now I'm much happier with it because those few people that I am following, those are people in my industry are related.
Right.
And they typically have more quality information, too, that I can use.
Right.
And they're people I can network with for
mm-hmm.
being on their show or on their blogs or whatever. It really makes a huge difference.
Exactly. And I just don't understand how people that are following 10, 20, 30,000 people, how you are even able to keep up with that.
They're not. They're not. I think people just like to have those numbers to say,
right.
I'm following 10,000 people. Well,
right.
I looked at what the stars are doing, and I looked at Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres and some of those,
mm-hmm.
and of course you'll see a gazillion people following them, but if you look at how many they're following,
exactly,
it may be under 20, because they're just following key people they need to follow.
Exactly, and that's perfect.
Certainly. So I decided that was a very good idea, and so that's what I did, and it's freeing because you weren't following all those other people anyway, and yet it creates that expectation in your head that makes you crazy
yes.
that you should be, you know, keeping up with these people somehow, and you shouldn't.
Right, and I've gotten some things out of Twitter. I've posted things on there about writing guest articles for people, and I've heard from complete strangers and developed relationships with them. But these
mm-hmm.
are obviously people who are following me, and
exactly.
then once we have that relationship, then I can follow them.
Right, right.
So it's kind of worked out. It's been, you know, helpful in that regard.
Yeah.
But it's
and,
not like I'm following all those people
no, you
that
can't.
I don't know.
Oh, and you know what makes it doubly bad with Twitter is every dog and his brother has created an application to go with Twitter. And
so right.
And then those are, if you use those, then those are designed to help you know even more about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to control which way you use it. Now,
right.
you've been talking about managing our time already. Are there any tips on how to manage our time to get more done in a day other than the ones you've already covered some already, but
right.
could you go over that again?
Well, a little of what we talked about kind of applies to that. It's a common problem when you get to the end of the day and you feel lost and
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you got done, you have no idea what you really accomplished, and what's going to happen tomorrow? It's going to be the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So what's important is that to have an end of the day ritual, have something to where you kind of know where your day ends, and then you know where it's going to begin in the morning. Yeah, and I mean, at least follow it at least 90% of the time. I mean, every once in a while you get to the end of the day and you're just exhausted, and there's no
mm-hmm.
way you're going to clean off your desk or do whatever. But at least if you kind of have an idea of what you've gotten done, you maybe look at the top three priorities for the day, and you plan what your next, you know, what your three are for tomorrow, and you really know where you're going to start in the morning. And a lot of times, you know, for some people, I've heard a lot of experts say, you know, never start with email first thing in the morning. But for me, that kind of gives me my direction
right.
as to what
right.
I need to do that day, unless I already know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I kind of skim it. I don't necessarily deal with all of it, but I at least skim it to see what came in overnight, if there's any fires that need to be put out. But, you know, just have that kind of in place where you've got an end of the day ritual so that you know when you come in the next day you don't walk in your office and just want to turn around and walk out.
Well, I agree with you in terms of reading email in the morning, and the reason for it is, to me, is if you have a global business,
mm-hmm.
then you have all these time zones that you're dealing with.
Exactly.
And if you you know, recheck your email in whatever's your morning,
mm-hmm.
you can typically see anything that's come in the middle of the night or things that have to be dealt with before, you know, 5 p.m. Eastern time or something of that nature.
Exactly.
And it kind of, like you say, helps set your day. Chances are, you know, many of those things that are in our email are not things we need to deal with.
Right.
But you don't know that until you skim through it.
Exactly. And a lot of the problems, as you tend to get more organized, you know, these things will disappear, a lot of the time management issues. But in the mm-hmm. meantime, you need to keep really focusing on them and making them a priority until they become habits. It's
mm-hmm.
like brushing your teeth. There was a time when, you know, it wasn't a habit to brush our teeth every day until our
mm-hmm.
parents taught us, you know what, you brush your teeth when you get up and you brush your teeth when you go to bed. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now none of us would ever think not to.
Or if you don't, it's going to bother you because you know it's something you
exactly.
need to do.
Exactly. You know, or you comb your hair before you leave the house. Just, you know, different things that we had to learn. We had to make them habits. And it's
right,
the same
right.
with being organized. It's the same with managing your time. It's the same with your email. It's the same with all of it. It's a matter of making it a habit.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times when you're working on a habit, you know, maybe you've got to, you know, quit smoking, or you're going to go on a diet, or you're going to do this, and you need to make these things habits. It's a habits. It's a lot harder at first, but then as you get used to it, it becomes easier. So sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's worse before it's better. But you know, if you can keep your eye on the big picture, you know, you can get there.
Right. Now, I know that it's different for different people, but
mm-hmm.
what's the best way to set up your office in general? Are there some general tips that we could all use?
Well, the biggest thing, and, you know, this seems like it's so simple, but have what you need where you need it.
Okay.
And I don't know why that's so difficult sometimes, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're sitting at a desk in one place in your office for a good part of the day, why would you have something that you're going to need three times all the way across the room rather than somewhere nearby?
Mm-hmm.
And you would be amazed at how many people do just because it fit there, or that's where you put it 10 years ago, or whatever the reason is.
Mm-hmm.
But really look at the things that you use on either a daily or weekly basis and have them within reach.
Mm-hmm.
Have them, if it's a book on a bookshelf that you use for reference all the time, have it at eye level, whether that eye level
right.
is while you're sitting in your chair or you're standing up, depending on where your bookshelf is in relation to your desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have it on top of the desk, depending on what style desk you have.
Right.
You know, there
right.
are options. Have it within reach. And, I mean, really, that's the biggest thing, because you think if you walk across the room four times a day.
Yeah.
Not only is that, you know, maybe that's only 30 seconds each time, which is 2 minutes. But how many things do you see as you walk across the room that you stop to do rather than just grab that item and get back to your desk?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And if you have a home-based business, oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
It's so distracting
mm-hmm.
to be at home because you can see so many things you need to do.
Right.
And if you don't have to get up, then you don't have to see those things. And you
exactly.
can focus.
So, I mean, as simple as it sounds, the biggest thing that I could tell you about the best way to set up your office is anything you're going to use on at least a weekly basis, have it within reach.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to stop before we go any further to give people your ways of being contacted. If people are listening now who want to use your services,
mm-hmm.
how would they go about contacting you?
Well, they can certainly contact me through my website, which is
okay.
www.getbeth.com. G-E-T and my name B-E-T-H, getbeth.com.
Okay, I like that. Okay.
And I offer, like I said, like we said earlier, a variety of different services. I work with clients virtually all over the world
mm-hmm.
through, starts with a questionnaire and pictures, and we talk about their frustrations and their challenges and strategize to working with someone in person and actually, you know, doing a lot of the work, you know, while I'm there with a client. And
okay.
I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm trying to phase that out a little bit, because what I've found since I've added the virtual organizing, which I sort of call productivity coaching because neither one of them really resonates with anybody yet because they're so new,
mm-hmm.
is that when I'm working with someone over the phone and we're strategizing and we're figuring this stuff out, they're doing the work. They're doing homework in between our phone calls, and they're getting this work done. And therefore, it's sticking better.
Okay.
It's not as if when I'm working with someone in person, it doesn't stick. Mm-hmm. It does, but I'm standing there and they're paying me, so unless it's just a strategy session where we're walking around and taking notes and doing this, I feel like I need to be busy and I need to be working, so I tend
mm-hmm.
to do 90% of the work.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it, you know, the client isn't, I don't think, getting as much out of it as they are when it's more of a coaching thing.
Right.
And they're actually learning and we're strategizing and we're figuring it out, and then they are the ones implementing it rather than me implementing it.
Well, I can see that makes a lot of sense, because the things that they need to do, they need to learn to do them, because they're
exactly.
going to have to keep this going. It's not a one-time thing. So if you strategize with them and then you have a week in between sessions, they have time to implement and ask questions, be prepared for the next time you talk or email. So
exactly.
I can see where that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and the thing that I bring to the table is the fact that I'm going to treat you as an individual. Just because you're a CPA or you sell Mary Kay or you do gift baskets or whatever it is that you do,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my niche, is finding out who you are and what's going to work for you. Are you a morning person? Are you left-handed? Are you right-handed? Are you this? Are you that? And that's going to help in setting up your office. It's going to help in, you know, creating these strategies. You know, are you a morning person? Are you a night person? You know,
mm-hmm.
when's your high energy time? To
right.
do these things that
right.
maybe...
That makes a big difference.
Exactly, because sometimes there are some things we have to do that we just really have to do, but it's like pulling teeth to get us to do it. So you really want to schedule those right and strategize. And, you know, maybe you've got 3 kids at home, or maybe
mm-hmm.
it's just you. Maybe you're single. So you've got all these different factors that factor into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm getting off topic a little bit as far as, like,
oh, that's okay.
you know, how to get a hold of me. But, I mean,
yeah.
the best way is through my website. And I
also okay.
do a weekly email newsletter called Answers from the Organizer, where if someone has questions, they
okay.
can, you know, email me a question and I can answer it in my newsletter.
And the sign up is on your website for that?
Exactly. The sign up is on
newsletter.
My website. You get a free report and you also get a free 20-minute strategy session with me for signing up
oh,
for
wow.
that.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really
pick,
good.
You know, one thing in your office that's just really frustrating you, and what I do is I'll send you a questionnaire. You'll fill it out with, you know, telling me all about your issue, and I'll, you know, I do my homework before the call. You're going to
mm-hmm.
send me some pictures. And we're going to strategize, and we're going to figure that thing out in that 20 minutes. And that's normally
that's
something
cool. that's
that I charge
big,
$47 for.
That's a big bonus right there.
Yeah.
Just the strategy session. That's cool.
Right. And it kind of helps people get to know me. It's like, oh, yeah, really, sure, I'm sure she can help me. You know, you get those skeptics out there who think, you know, no one can help me. I'm buried knee-deep in this stuff. I've
right.
been to organizers before. I've done this before. But it gives them a chance just to try me out. And even if they
yeah.
don't take advantage of the free one, which needs to be done within 30 days of signing up, it's $47. And I do
yeah.
offer a money-back guarantee, and my consultations are always free.
Wow.
So you've really got nothing to lose to just
yeah.
check it out. If you're frustrated, like I said before, there's no judgment. If people didn't have issues with their email, with their paper...
You'd have to get another job, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a job. And, you know, I love what I do. So,
one of the things that I thought about that you help people with beyond the organizing is the accountability, because many of us know what to do. I mean, we know some of these things,
mm-hmm.
or and, I mean, we know about them, but we're
right.
not necessarily doing them. And having your help means that we have someone we're accountable to
right.
that we're going to meet with or talk with periodically. And it's like when you have a party. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
I think I need to have parties more frequently, have guests more frequently, because, boy, you go into high gear and get
your
house
your
clean.
House.
Boy, you get the house clean.
Yeah,
and it looks wonderful for a few minutes, but
right.
you got motivated because you invited guests. And so I think the same thing with hiring you, the
right.
accountability factor is going to be a big help, big
right.
help.
Right. And a lot
yeah.
of people, too, will start to think, you know, oh, I can't afford it, I can't do this, I can't do that. And like I said, you know, a 20-minute session for one thing is $47. It's
wow.
not a huge amount of money, but you can, you know, there's a lot of people who are very organized, but they've just got this one little thing that just really nags at them that they can't put their finger on. You know,
wow.
I mean, organizing projects can range from from that to, you know, $20,000-$30,000. It depends. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
And I do also have a tendency to work within most people's budgets. If they say, you know what, I've got $800 to spend on this, what can we do for that? I can look at the project with them, and we can break it up into pieces, and it might mean that they're doing more homework. It might mean that maybe we're spreading the sessions out further. But if you tell me, okay, that's what I have to spend, and I need to get this done, then I'm going to tell you what you need to do in order to get that done. Because typically during the consultation, I've been doing this long enough, I'm going to get to know you well enough to know how long it's going to take and what it's going to cost. It's very rare that I don't. And a lot of times, the only times when I don't is when you've got 86 boxes stacked in your office and we don't know what's in any of them. It's really hard for me to come up with a number or of hours that it's going to take. But I'll tell you a funny story. I worked with an attorney one time who had 86 boxes or whatever it was, you know, all stacked in his office. And we got his office organized and we started into the boxes. And it turned out most of those boxes were full of old fax paper, things when everything was done by fax. Every single sheet of paper was blank. All we had to do was skim through to make sure there was nothing that was really confidential on these papers, and we basically trashed it all. It took, a matter of a day to get through all these boxes instead of months of looking at each paper. So you never know is the thing.
Do we make decisions about where things should belong? Because just like I was saying about on the computer, files and folders, what about in, you mentioned eye level for things that you know you're going to need, books or reference tools or whatever.
Right.
The other things are things that you need frequently, like you say, obviously pens, pencils, notepad,
telephone.
Right,
you want to make it convenient for you, and you want it to make sense to you. A lot of people will ask me, well, where does everybody else keep this? Where do they keep their passwords? Where do they keep their this? Where do they keep their that? And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's only if you're
for
the only
you.
One in that office, it's only got to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes sense to you and where should you keep it? And as far as naming things, you know, if you come up with a system that works for you for naming your files, for setting up your filing system, and it's always a good idea to try to make the files on your computer mirror your paper files, mirror your email folders. If you name them all the same and you know you're looking for something from a particular person, chances are you're going to find it in one of those three places, if it's an email folder, a computer file folder, or a physical paper folder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you've really got to stop and almost do it backwards and think, okay, when I'm looking for this, what am I going to be looking for, and where am I going to look for it?
Right. Okay.
You know, it's like your car keys. Okay, when I'm getting ready to leave the house and I need my keys, where do I want to look for them? And
exactly.
That's where you keep it. You kind of approach it sort of in a backwards manner and, you know, think about, okay, when I'm looking for this article about, you know, how to balance my checkbook, because I just don't know how to balance my checkbook. So when I'm looking for this article, when it comes time to balance my checkbook, where am I going to look for it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, chances are maybe somewhere near your bank statement. Maybe somewhere, you know, what makes sense to you? And it's just, it could be that simple. You really have to kind of approach it in a backwards sort of way to where you look at, okay, when I'm looking for this, what is going to be the key? What's going to help me find this? And that's where you go.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have 1 minute left on today's show.
Wow.
Would you believe it?
Wow, that went fast.
This has been so helpful. Listeners, please go to Beth's website, getbeth.com, www.getbeth.com. Be sure to sign up for her newsletter and get those bonuses. Boy, they sound really good to me. And get organized, because it's not just good for your business, it's also good for your mental well-being. As we near the end of today's show, I urge all of you to share what you've learned with your family and colleagues, because this is information that's going to be ongoing beneficial for all of us. Remember, the recording of today's episode will be here on my radio site at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, so you can return anytime to hear it. I want to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, November 9th at 11 a.m. for another exciting show. Remember to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and get a hold of my book, my newsletter, and I have a members-only area there, too. Again, I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy. Thank you, Beth, for being my guest today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I learned something new. And
good.
I need to get busy implementing some of the things you reminded me of. I want all of my listeners to have a blessed week. And remember to get organized. And in the process, that's going to certainly help you to color your life happy.
Mm-hmm.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Color your life happy.
Color.